laced up.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
Welcome back to Banter with the Boys, Belgian GP preview. Oh, Fast Laps. That's the name of our show.
I was going to go
Banter with the Boys, and then you don't even know what you're listening to or watching if you're on YouTube. But this is Fast Laps. We're back. We had not even technical difficulties last week. We were going to try to give you something special. And then Mike and I both had work difficulties.
Yeah, actually. I'd be like that.
You know, adult stuff. Yeah, That's why we get to do this every week. You know, this is this is adult. What am I talking about? What are we doing, Mike? I mean, yeah, Mike.
Does he know where he is?
You got your new Nico hat on.
I do. Yeah, we got the new hat.
New hats.
Obviously, he didn't get the memo. We put out the memo. We said make sure you wear your new. Your new F1 hats. You wore your new one. I wore my new one, and here's an Alpine hat.
I was gonna wear my Bass Pro Shops hat in like
your
protest.
New mid tier field team.
Let's go!
Let's go! Congratulations,
winners!
But yeah. Anyway, yeah, we all made it.
Hey, I'm Joe. I'm here too.
Joe's here too.
It's fun to be here.
And his Williams hat. New Williams.
I've got
hat.
A Williams hat. It's their year. WTC.
Yeah.
For sure.
For you NFL fans, sounds like a Viking fan out here saying we're going to win the Super Bowl.
It's our year, man.
True.
It's our year. Yeah. We're and definitely then, not going to choke right at the
right,
end there.
Right. Never. That never happens. Kev, behind the camera.
Kev.
Getting it done. We still don't have Kev, Mike, or Cam. Kev, we'll get there. It's coming by the end of the season. Yep. With that, let's... before we even head into news... We'll just do this mild. Usually we have quick thoughts after we do our...
I'm sorry, are we boring?
You are.
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't said
you are. I'm sorry. I'm running out like 5 hours of sleep, caffeine, and the drive to yap. So.
And Joe and Mike, there was a lot of stuff happening in the group chat about 15 minutes ago, so...
I don't know what you're talking about. That's
crazy. Imagine that. He doesn't know out of everybody.
He just moves his fingers.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, the only quick thought I had was something we might bring into light here, especially after we had just dropped the last episode, and then biggest news of the season probably, Christian Horner getting axed, and then we're going to talk about today. So we're pretty late to the ballgame. So we may start doing a little news update if anything big happens, like if Max Verstappen announces he's going to drive for Mercedes in about 2 weeks for next season.
Not even 2 weeks. Apparently it's happening this week.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
No.
Apparently
so look
it's
out
happening
for that.
This week. Yeah.
Look out for that. That would be big news.
That would actually be huge news.
It would break the F1 world probably, actually. Who would take that? All right, hold on.
We'll talk about
thoughts.
It when we get there.
It's quick thoughts. No, it's quick thoughts. That's fine. Well, are we even talking about Matt? Oh, yeah, I did put in there. All right, Kev, let's just head into news. We'll touch on it real quick. We got time. And to start our news off, obviously, we just briefly mentioned Christian Horner getting the boot at Red Bull after 20 years.
Not on my bingo card.
Not on mine either, but I am not upset.
It's like, I'm definitely not upset either, but I guess I'm surprised, but also not surprised. It's like they weren't performing. It actually makes sense that he'd get kicked, right? They had the most dominant year of any, maybe even any team in 2023, winning almost every single race. And now they're here struggling to get podiums with Max, and the second car is nowhere.
Right, I mean, 2023, but you don't think the guy at least gets to finish the season?
I know F1 is F1. It is crazy to turn it pretty, finally. I mean,
I'm wondering, and I've heard this thrown around on the internet a bit. That
typical on the internet.
Part of my wonder is this wasn't a crack from Red Bull to plead to Max Verstappen. Like, we know that you and your father have had problems with Christian Horner, and he's not doing anything for us. We'll get rid of him. Like, he's gone tomorrow. Say less. Please stay with our team. We need you.
But do you think they do that with, a deal under the table in place with Max already? or not. Or they like take the chance. We're like, eh, if he stays, awesome. And if not, then I guess we start over with no Christian Horner after what he's brought us for 20 years, which we'll touch on everything he's brought them. But
I don't know. There's a lot of speculation in that. It's a toughie. I mean, there's also all the drama that came last year with him. And
is there a hangover or holdover with that drama, you think, in this decision?
There's still lawsuits going on. We can talk about this because we're in the U.S. and UK podcasts and news people can't talk about this because of their policies, their laws. Here it is.
Mike's getting us flagged once again.
Here we go.
Yeah, sorry to our UK friends.
This is the last episode.
apparently there's still lawsuits and things going on with Christian Horner about that whole scandal that went on last year.
Who's
and
still suing still,
the lady, victim? I guess. Oh, okay. I don't have all the details because it's not being talked about a whole lot because obviously it's happening in the UK and the UK can't report on it.
Yeah.
So it's... I've been hearing a lot of like little things about it, but apparently there's still a lot of backlash on that. And I think Red Bull is just kind of like, look, you cost us Adrian Newey. You're maybe going to cost us Max Verstappen.
Which is, I mean, that's, yeah.
Goodbye.
You know, but Newey was there the whole time Horner was there for the most part. Newey came in like 08 or 09 or something. Might have even been earlier than that. I just looked it up today, too. Can't remember, but.
I think he joined shortly after they started Red Bull. Right?
I watched a lot. I remember the morning. I was very busy online, just like looking stuff up about Christian and just reading into like the announcers talking about him or commentators talking about him. And I think he brought in Newey, then he brought in Max. And so like they almost, and this is probably just like, you know, UK Sky Sports like shenanigans against Christian because people don't care for him a lot.
Yeah.
They kind of framed him as being the guy that brought everyone in, but not the guy to do things himself, which is kind of crazy. I mean, he helped win them so many. Like, he helped win
is
them
that
four
not
titles,
position?
Maybe more.
Is that not your position to bring in people to help
four titles?
Win?
Four titles with just Max.
Just
keep
Max,
mind,
and then
Vettel.
Three more with Vettel, right?
Yeah, four.
So
I think he had four with Vettel. So like eight, four with Vettel, four with Max, eight total, and then six constructors.
Pretty decent.
in 20 years.
On your point.
From a team that was not very... very good they got bought.
Yeah.
They were Jaguar or whatever.
To your point on appeasing Max, it would be wild if there was like some written contract. I think
there's no way it would be written already though. That's what I mean. It'd be like an under the table. Like,
I feel more it's more like agreement. Listen, Max is already and especially Jost, like he has real big problem with Horner. It's like
I got a real big problem with Jost.
You appease Jost, you're gonna appease Max.
Yep.
And then we're just kinda get them off their plate. We'll get Laurent Mekies in there and he'll do his thing.
Well, there's also, you know, Helmut Marko also had problems with Christian Horner, and Max tends to agree more with Helmut Marko because, you know, they're both Dutch, so, like, they're, you know, I suppose there's that, too, that, you know, that's just one more people in that camp that, you know, you're just making more people happy by getting rid of the guy.
I think we should change the name from Red Bull to Max Verstappen.
Yep, I agree.
Max Verstappen.
Verstappen Racing.
Although I do.
Oh, I mean, he already has his racing team.
I did get a chuckle at the fact that, like, so season one of Drive to Survive, you remember how the first episode ended?
Oh, yeah.
It ended with Christian Horner saying that if your team can't perform, the buck stops with me. And boy, that clip didn't age very well.
They could. I mean, I could see them flashback into that moment.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I hope they do in the next season.
I don't know. I haven't read this agenda here. We're going to talk about Horner a little bit already.
Go into it. Whatever.
This is kind of a tinfoil hat moment a little bit.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
So I've kind of been saying this. I want to get you guys' takes as well. We're going to be talking about Horner for probably a little bit here. He was seen talking with Alpine in Italy for an extended period of time, and it was enough time to be noticed by the media. Mm-hmm. He's now fired. My tinfoil hat, I already kind of like suspect that he could be picked up by Alpine as a team principal because they're lacking one right now. So I already expect, I don't think he's leaving F1. Whoa. I think he's going to stay in F1 in some kind of capacity somewhere. Many, many principals who get fired do. They come back. I think he goes, so what if they found out he struck a deal with Alpine? And they found out about that, so they had to fire him immediately because they're a competitor and they can't allow him to continue working with them.
Right.
So my tinfoil is that he's already at Alpine and he's just waiting to get there.
What if this is his garden leave? Like, this is his gardening leave. Like, this is just...
it's possible.
Like, maybe he's already signed with Alpine, and this is just his time to, like, we need you to get away from the team for long enough so that you don't carry over our... our specific information on our car for next year to Alpine and give them an unfair advantage.
I don't know how obviously it works in the F1 world. I also don't know how it works outside of retail NDA world. If you're working for a competitor in a company in the US, mm-hmm. if you sign like a contract with a competitor saying that, yeah, I'm going to go work for you.
Yeah.
You don't get like a 2-week notice. You're gone. You got to go. Essentially, you're terminated. You maybe get a day to pack your things.
Right. I remember signing a thing that said I couldn't go work at another bicycle shop.
There you go. And maybe they sign you that. Yeah.
That I was working in.
But like if I work for like a certain 3 years company
post or something, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was,
oh, that
it
is was crazy. Wild. Yeah. It was, you might want to talk to the lawyer about that.
The company's actually no longer in business. They
oh, well,
it.
Hey, you won that. Yeah.
That's what a gardening leave is. So it's just,
I mean, but he's still with the company though.
That's what, well, yeah. So like
if he's going to Alpine, I would expect that if he's already set to going to Alpine, I'd expect that he'd be fired and he would not be employed by Red Bull anymore unless they have to fulfill his contract.
Adrian, still an employee.
He is. They said that he was still an employee of Red Bull.
Adrian knew he was still employed with Red Bull but was on a gardening leave for a while, even going into the start of this year before he moved to Aston.
That's true, but that was incredibly planned out. He was finishing his contract and he was still dedicating his whole time at Red Bull to focus on their hypercar.
You're right. Why does this feel more?
This is more. Because they just fired him. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't his choice. At least, you know.
I feel like if he knew, he wouldn't have been emotional.
So that's why it's a tinfoil hat. I think it probably wasn't lined up, but I think trajectories are, you know,
you're right,
lining up for him at Alpine. I wouldn't be surprised, but we'll see.
I mean, I guess as our resident Alpine fan. When they need help,
gonna be honest,
we need help.
It's gonna make me like Alpine even less.
That's fine.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of Christian Horner at Alpine. I don't know why.
They're just the bad guys. They're the new permanent bad guys.
No, what? How could Pierre Gasly ever be a bad guy?
Yeah, it feels bad that Pierre Gasly's getting lumped into that. Ugh. But it's Flavio Briatore and Christian Horner.
Can you tell him I'm no longer talking to him? Two people with the most controversy
in F1.
Schmelty would like me to tell you that he's no longer talking to you, so you can direct conversation to me, and then I'll direct it
and
back to Schmelty.
Then you relay it back to me.
Gotcha. Good news. Gotcha. Hey, the good news is, and you don't have to tell Schmelty this.
I'm so sorry. I have nothing for you.
There's not a lot of details that happen to talk about for Alpine anyways, so that's okay.
He told me not to tell you this, but it was a slight towards you.
That's crap.
To me.
hey, you take that back.
You skipped a step.
I'm kind of like, I don't feel like, I get it. It's very easy to dislike Christian Horner.
Right.
I don't know. This is like a nice little. I mean, he's not a good person, but it's like a little clean slate.
Sure. That we know. He's not a good person. Allegedly.
I mean,
touched somebody. Okay.
Anyway,
the touch gate. Text gate. It was text messages. Sorry, I'm making it up.
Also, we didn't mention new team principal for Red Bull taking place for him is Lauren Mekies.
I said that. Yeah.
Oh, did you? Oh, I didn't hear you say that. Okay, good. I just want to make sure that was brought up because that's
I know
important.
He was. He's been like passive for team principal. I think a few times he's been in F1 for a long time. Yep. He was in the FIA and he was in a couple of other teams. Yep. Yeah, he's.
Cool,
I guess he was principal in Alpine. So I mean, not Alpine. Sorry,
V Carb.
Yeah. For the last year, two years,
year and a half. I think
year and a half. Yeah. Yeah.
But now he's on the Red Bull seat.
Now he's on the Red Bull seat,
the Red Bull varsity team.
He has shoes to fill.
Your favorite team.
I think he got his start actually working in the technical side for Red Bull. So
I thought he started in the FIA.
Oh, did he? I thought I heard he started with Red Bull technical. I know
he had a stint in the FIA. I know
he did. Yeah, I know he had a stint in the FIA as well. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Okay, we briefly mentioned Max Verstappen. We might as well touch on it one more time.
Do we want to go through Horner's stats?
I suppose. I put him on there.
I guess we don't need to talk about him. We don't need to glaze the man. You know?
Yeah, I was typing it out, I was like, do I really need to put all this in here? But, I mean, it is wild to think about what they did accomplish. And being the youngest, he was the youngest
team principal
ever, mm-hmm. 31 years old. So in those 20 years... we mentioned they did win 6 Constructors' Championships, 8 driver WDCs. 31 times Red Bull finished 1-2 under Horner's command. 107 pole wins. 124 race wins, which ranks 4th all-time, which only, I think it was Mercedes, McLaren, and Ferrari are above them. And then 287 podiums, which is 70% of the races they've participated
in. That's pretty good.
That's pretty a pretty good track record if you're looking at just his stats and not 2024 Tex Touchgate. You know, if you don't look at that, that's wild.
Yeah, I mean, 70% of the races that you were team principal and you got a podium, that's insane.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
That's pretty nuts.
Pretty he's done with us glazing him. He's done with it.
Crazy.
Pretty nuts. Also, for whatever it's worth, for the first time ever in the life of Kimi Antonelli and Oliver Bierman, Christian Horner is no longer the team principal of Red Bull. He has been the team principal for Red Bull longer than those two have been alive.
Dang.
There are people driving on the F1 grid who have never known a world without Christian Horner as the team principal.
In F1, just in general, you see him on the grid. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's
insane.
That means we're old because we don't fit the bill.
Whoopsies.
Whoops. Dropped that one. So Max Verstappen, 2020. Max Verstappen, 26. Verstappen, 26. Is it in a Red Bull or a Mercedes?
It's in a Red Bull.
I'm agreeing. It's in a Red Bull.
I think it's all talk. It's fun drama. I don't think it's anything more than that.
It is weird, though. Is it weird or is it not weird that George Russell doesn't have a deal done yet?
It is weird. They mentioned
it's been drawing on.
In the last weekend, they both Toto and George like publicly talked about it. Where George was like, "Yeah, I don't have one," and it's a little weird. And Toto was like, "Yeah, he doesn't have one, but we're looking it. Like we're dealing with it, right?"
That's weird. That's a weird answer.
I don't know. Yeah, because Toto didn't say he was signing George. He just, I guess, talked about how George mentioned it, and that's it. I mean, he PR'd
just acknowledging it,
right? It is weird.
If it's not Max Verstappen, it's George Russell, right? For Mercedes, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Right? If you can't somehow land this crazy fish that frickin' Max Verstappen is, that you would stick with George Russell out of other options. I don't even know you're not going to put Bottas back in there over George Russell, right?
No. Why would you get rid of George Russell at all?
I wouldn't.
He's had
a decent year.
Yeah. He's had a really good year. He's had his best year in F1, I would argue.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it. I will say that I feel like Toto notoriously when...
most consistent year in F1, I'd say.
Toto...
Okay. Not Russell, for sure.
Toto will regularly, when he signs his contracts, does it over summer break.
Okay.
And so that's...
So, a few weeks.
Historically, couple more weeks,
yeah. Historically, that's when we see contracts get filled out for Mercedes is during summer break. I think there was one contract ever that he signed before summer break, and it soured really badly. I forget what it was, but like I remember hearing about it, and the content that I was reading on where they were talking about were saying like this is probably why we don't see Toto signing is because the one time he did sign before summer break it went poorly, so now he just never does it again.
So it's a superstition thing for him.
Yeah. And so, Toto,
too.
Toto is just playing into it because he's like, this is advertisement.
Fun? Yeah.
There's news about Mercedes. And the more news there is about Mercedes, the more sales there is about Mercedes.
But then he's going to sign George and be like, I can't believe he didn't get Verstappen. Or maybe people will be like, yeah, no, he was never going to get Verstappen.
He was never going to be a thing. Yeah, right. The only other thing I had on here was this dude Crawford. What's his first name?
Jack. Right?
Wait. Who does he drive for? Jack Crawford. Uno momento.
F2 driver?
Allegedly, if he came out saying that he's kind of like officially, unofficially eyeing up the Cadillac seat if he were to pull off the F2 title, how likely would it be for Cadillac to take a chance? I know, obviously, I thought somebody here said they saw somewhere that they would ideally like a vet and a young driver, but how likely would they be to take a F2 driver right out of the gate, you know?
I mean, what other rookie are you looking at?
If you're looking at a rookie at all.
Somebody else that's young that's had a chance, maybe. I'm not saying Jack Doohan, but just somebody else that may have a like Mick Schumacher, but just somebody needs another chance. What about Joe? You know, he's youngish, Joe, right? Compared to like a vet.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like a Bottas and a Joe or something, you know. Or so Sergio and a
Cadillac
Joe.
Is also going to be under Ferrari power at first.
Could you imagine that? Sergio and Joe. That would be actually kind of interesting.
Would be interesting.
Just for the dollars.
I don't see that going anywhere. I was hearing, I think yesterday, in a different video that I was watching, that somebody from the Cadillac camp had said that Cadillac has finalized a contract and that they're going to be announcing it over the summer break.
Whoa!
And I
sweet.
They did not say for who. They did not give a name, but they said a contract. A contract has been finalized, and they will be announcing it over summer break.
I saw something similar. That's exciting. And from sources that I never trust and never will trust and don't trust, yep. I heard that it was Sergio Perez.
I heard that too. Like, I've been hearing so many things recently about Sergio, but
sources that I don't trust.
I keep leaning back to that comment that we heard from Sergio's dad like a month ago, where Sergio's dad was like, he's not driving an F1 again. Hmm. He's done. And so I'm like, what more of a reliable source do you need other than the guy's actual father?
What if you get money thrown at your face? Yeah. Then you're just still done.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not.
Sergio's dad does seem to be like one for drama, though. You know, he might.
Does he?
Like, ooh. I mean, if you see him, he's always in like Mexico when Sergio's driving, and he's like front and center at like the finish line. Yeah, you know, he's. Very out there.
That's right.
Jack Crawford is an American racing driver in F2. He's racing for DAMS, DAMS, and he is a part of the Aston Martin F1 driver development program.
Aston, okay. That's what it was.
Interesting.
Yep. He's not driving Aston colors, I will say, but he's part of their development
program. Where is he in the standings in F2?
That is a good question.
But he's an American driver. Dang, wait, he's I feel in like second, an idiot.
I thought Alex Dunn was in first, right? You're going to give me the details right now.
I'm going to give you the details right now.
I sure hope so.
In that crispy Williams hat.
Whoa.
Verstappen is first with 122 points.
Wow. Holy cow.
Guys, I'm serious. There's a driver with the with the initials V-E-R.
That's crazy.
Crawford is second. Yes. Crawford is C-R-A. Second. Yes.
Okay.
Who is V-E-R? We should be talking about him. Is it?
I have no clue. To be fair,
Franz Hermann in F2.
Franz Hermann. To be fair, F2 titles do tend to bounce around a lot on standings and where drivers are, so that's not too unusual. We could still see Jack Crawford take it.
Sure.
Well,
for sure,
and being an American driver, they probably, again, a PR move thing, right? You want to boost as many fans probably in your home country as possible, you know what I mean, as possible.
True.
As the sport continues to grow.
True.
There's allegedly an F1 style track being built in Atlantic City. Now, whether or not it would actually be regulation, I doubt it. Just F1 style track, it's probably not going to be, you know, good enough. But,
F1 style go-kart track.
But again, the popularity of F1 is continuing to increase in the U.S., it feels like. And then when Cadillac hits the grid, who knows?
Yep.
But, yeah, I think we're ready for some up to speed here.
I do have a couple other quick things in news. Lord.
Here we go again.
These are pretty quick. Good news for you. Episode. I did get confirmation that Williams is bringing a small upgrade package to Spa this weekend.
Nice.
So hopefully that helps them a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of upgrades, go ahead.
Aston Martin has confirmed that they are done with upgrades for the rest of the year. So the last upgrade that they took that has given them all this performance, that's the last
one. Dewey 2026.
They are done. They're phoning it in for the year. They are putting all their focus on 2026. And Pirelli has announced that they're going to be doing some weird stuff with their tires this weekend.
They did say that.
Bringing, I think it's C1, C3, and C4.
They're going to be doing experimental tire tests. However, it could be raining this weekend, which will not be good for those tests.
Correct.
So they might push it back.
Yeah. It's like a 20% chance.
Yeah. Speaking of upgrades, Ferrari's coming with a new revised rear suspension this weekend as well.
I did actually hear about that. I forgot to write that down. You are right. I did hear about that too. Yeah. And hopefully that helps them a little bit.
Yeah. It's to increase resistance of the car, to change its pitch in the brake to accelerate it, and then it's a paywall. So I don't see what happens after that.
It's a paywall.
The other big thing that I think they're also hoping for is if they change their suspension, it'll change how much they're bottoming out, and it'll help them with their skid plate so that they don't need to raise their car as high, because they've been having to raise their car higher to work around their skid plate. Because obviously they had that one weekend where they double DNF'd.
That was unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
Unfortunate. Is that all of your notes?
That was my notes.
That was my notes.
You guys touched up on everything else that I had.
is Joe's notes? Are Joe's notes completed?
All my notes are for up to speed. I'm good.
Good. Good. Don't call your mom yet. We're not done. All right, Kev.
She's on speed dial.
Let's head right into our Belgian preview.
I'm here to bring you up to speed for this weekend's Grand Prix at Belgium. We're here for the Formula One Moët and Chandon Belgian Grand Prix. Yeah. It's their new
yeah, that's what I said
champagne.
Before.
Yep. Moët and Chandon. I practice so much.
Is it Moët?
Moët? No, it's Moët.
No, it is Moët.
Moët and Chandon. Moët. Yes, I actually have it.
You have it.
Yeah. Belgian Grand Prix 2025. A fun fact, per usual, longest circuit on the F1 calendar. It's a nice and quick one. Mm-hmm. Our starting grid was Leclerc, Perez, Hamilton, the McLarens, and then Max starting in 11th after taking a new engine. Lights out, and Leclerc leads the pack through the first corner. Hamilton immediately fighting with Perez for second, while Lando in fourth goes a bit wide and hits the gravel, falling down three places after only the first corner. Meanwhile, Piastri keeps it fourth behind the fighting Red Bull and Merck. Hamilton just gets ahead as they get to Eau Rouge and climb the hill toward the first DRS straight. Perez starts fighting for his position back through the straight, but Hamilton holds it as Russell looks to steal Piastri's spot. By the end of lap one, Max has made three position and has only one car in between himself and Lando. The commentators noted his wing having a ton of downforce, and you can see clearly that both Red Bulls have a huge downforce setup compared to everyone else to help in those corners, yet they both still have crazy pace in the straights. By lap three, Hamilton has lost Perez in his dust and starts aiming for first. He takes a position from his future teammate on lap three by the end of the first DRS straight. Lap 11 and 12, Russell pits ahead of Piastri and gets an undercut for position on him, claiming net fourth. Piastri, however, keeps it right behind the Merc up the hill through the straight, taking his position back at the end. He sets his sights on Perez next and takes net third from the Red Bull. 10 laps later, at half race distance, Russell is next on the list to overtake Perez, with Verstappen very close behind, having made up six positions already. Another 10 laps later, and Perez gets overtaken once more by the McLaren of Norris, trying to claw his way back to where he started the race, still weighs off in sixth. Lap 36, and Piastri begins his run on Leclerc for the final podium position. DRS open, he makes an outside dive at the end of the DRS straight, runs alongside him through the corner, and sticks the position before the short downhill run. Separate strategies from each other, Russell running a longer stint and Hamilton on fresher tires. Two laps left, we find the pair of Mercedes battling out for first place. Hamilton only 6 tenths behind Russell, with Piastri not too far behind. Positions stay the same as we enter the final lap of the race. Hamilton half a second down from Russell, following closely up the hill and through the DRS straight, but is unable to cover the distance and sticks behind the Mercedes through the remainder of the lap. Piastri 7 tenths behind him. The top three separated by less than 2 seconds. George crosses the line in first in one of the greatest drives to date. Hamilton in second for Merck, a Merck 1-2, and Piastri following closely behind to take the final podium position. But unfortunately, Russell's third win was short-lived. The race he fought so hard for was taken away after a disqualification due to being 1.5 kilograms underweight. Our final race standings being Hamilton, Piastri, Leclerc, Verstappen, Norris, Sainz, Perez, I put F-E-R, Ferrari, Ocon, Ricardo, and Stroll. I don't know who F-E-R, maybe that's Sainz. No, that's not Sainz. I don't know who F-E-R is.
Franz Ferdinand?
Oh, maybe it's Fernando. It's Fernando. I did F-E-R instead of A-L-O. So there you go. Hamilton with the technical win, but George with a huge like tire whisperer stint winning on track. I love Spa, guys. I don't know if you guys like Spa. I love Spa. It's a fun track.
I love the atmosphere of Spa.
Sure.
I don't like racing it.
I like the atmosphere on most tracks, I think.
Hmm.
Seems pretty decent.
I feel like we typically get some okay racing there, I think. It is a very long lap.
It's a really long
lap. Really long lap.
Yeah.
It's like noticeably long. Yeah, like, I feel like we're watching and we're like, oh my God, we've only done 2 laps.
Yeah, right.
And it's been like 20 minutes.
Do you remember how many laps they do there?
44.
44, okay. Yeah.
Compared to, I think,
57 or
yeah, like,
whatever.
I think, what was our last track that we were at?
Silverstone.
That was like a 60 lap race or something like that. Yeah. It's crazy.
So, to refresh your memories, at Silverstone, Smeltzy got 4 points. Joe got 2, Mike got 1, So our grand total points, Smeltzy, that's me, 33 points. Joe at 29 points, and Mike is taking a Leonard Zinnard. No, he's at 28 points. So that would mean, oh, wait, no, I go first, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's like crap.
I think it's going to be, I don't know. I don't know what McLaren's going to do coming out of this. I'm thinking it's going to be Lando, Oscar, and then it'd be a clown if I don't take George.
Clown, he says.
Yep. Charles was floating through my mind, though.
We do not have guaranteed rain.
Instead of both McLarens.
Yeah. We do not have guaranteed rain on Sunday.
Not
but it's
guaranteed.
50% throughout most of the day.
It's supposed to be pretty cool, too.
Pretty cool. So a Mercedes would actually be a decent choice. Mm-hmm. Max, last year, not good, but the previous 3 years before that, he won here. So I know who my top two are.
And the previous two races for Max, not good.
Not good. That's true. So it's hard to say. He could also just take another component. This, I mean, a lot of people take components at Spa. I think it's like historic that typically people, it's a good track to take components if they need them. Mm-hmm. He hasn't had a lot of breaks though. Okay, I hate being so close to you. I'll do Oscar in first.
Nope.
Lando in second, and
Kimmy.
We'll do George. Kimmy.
Wow, so you guys both did
same exact podium.
McLaren, Mercedes.
So Nico Hülkenberg is winning.
Putting that down.
Locked in.
Okay, Oscar Piastri is going to win.
Okay, yep.
Oscar's sick.
Oscar because he's
Oscar.
Sick.
He's sick. Lando Norris.
Yeah.
And Max Verstappen.
Yeah, that's good. That's I feel like that's a pretty good choice.
I don't know.
That's
I
my
like
second choice.
Oh man, I was like really tossing. I was actually thinking about putting Russell on my podium too, and like Charles Leclerc has been rumbling around my gut all day too.
I'm telling you, Charles. I was thinking about.
But like, we don't know what this new upgrade that Ferrari's bringing is going to do, and like,
you would hope it would only help.
We know it's like we know that George is obviously Mercedes is good in the cold, mm-hmm. but we know how good Max is in the wet. So it's just kind of like a toss up a little.
One of the two.
And then I mean the McLarens are
should run away with it again.
My other thing too is I'm very curious to see how Red Bull is. This is going to be their first run with Lauren Mekies as their TP. So
ooh, might be a little. I don't think that bothers Max. I think Max is
Max is a.
I'm actually really interested because one of the things Max has been saying, he's been struggling with the car a lot, and Lauren Mekies has stated the fact that one of his big things that he's going to do on race weekends is spend more time trying to dial in on the car or the car setup for the weekend first. That is going to be his first thing every single weekend is making sure that both his drivers are comfortable instead of trying to run data, analytics, all the other crap. Like his pure focus is going to be, I want to make sure my drivers are comfortable in that car, and then once I do, then we'll start doing all the excess stuff afterwards.
Well, yeah, he's not going to get that done for Yuki by the end of the year.
No, I feel like
it's just getting Yuki in the most comfortable setup of the car that he can for the weekend, just how high it wants to be, where the wings are placed, et cetera.
I feel like that's kind of what they do already, though. Like, what's different?
So they do, but
like you say that they run like data analytics, but that's all to getting them to get the fastest car they can, right?
Apparently, they weren't putting enough emphasis into their car setups on the weekends, and that was something that Max and Yuki were both saying that you know they're driving cars that they just weren't feeling good on. They're like the car setup wasn't good this weekend. And so Lauren Mekies is saying,
so as opposed to maybe like this is the best line, this is
correct.
Like,
yeah, none of that stuff. It's going to be just he's focusing on car setup. We're going to make sure that the car setup is good, and once that car setup is good, then I expect that both my drivers are going to be able to put together their laps.
Gotcha.
And so
it's going to be more interesting to see if Yuki has any changes than Max. Like Max is going to do Max things.
I don't think we're going to see anything right away.
Probably not, but by the end of the season, now until the end of the season, because I would imagine they're not going to take Yuki out, just let him buck the rest of the season. I'd be curious to see if there is any changes. I think that would be the more drastic change than Max.
Also, we didn't bring this up, but really quickly, I'm now more confident that Yuki keeps his seat for 26.
Because Horner got
Horner is gone, and Lauren Mekies is has been championing Yuki Tsunoda for years,
yep.
saying that Yuki Tsunoda deserves this seat and that...
And knowing that this car is built for Max.
Correct. And so I think that he is going to be Yuki's biggest defender, at least throughout into 26.
Interesting.
So
that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Because we were talking about that, like, does Yuki keep a seat next year? We don't know.
I think it's more likely now.
I think you have to ask the question. I do agree. I think Laurent Mekies is really good to have on your side if you're Yuki, because you're right. I wonder if Christian was the end all be all of the we are cutting this person, or if it's helmet plus shareholders or some
probably
stuff
a mix,
like
right?
That, right?
Yeah, probably.
So I wonder if he'll be enough. I think I've thought that Yuki's probably going to stay around. I don't think that he's getting booted. But you say he's going to start 2026. I'm not sure about that. I think he should start 2026, but anything could happen, you know?
I think that Laurent Mekies is going to keep him around for 2026 so that he can have a default, something to work with that's familiar for a new regulation cycle.
Yep.
And then if Yuki still isn't putting it together, then Laurent's going to be like, look, man, that's, you know.
It is what it is. Yeah.
It is what it is. Right. We gave you your shot.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
So...
Well, Mike,
it was great.
Thanks for busting cheeks here. Got here.
No, don't even acknowledge it. Just leave it.
I got here in great time.
Yeah, the two of us got here early. In fact, the both of us got here.
And you guys just let me stay at home, not knowing either of you.
And you know what's funny?
Here it comes.
We
didn't even give me an "I'm here."
We walked in the house, and he said, "He goes, I hope Joe's okay." I'm like, "Nah, he's sitting at home right now."
Why didn't you message me then?
Seriously, because I was like, you know, Joe's usually here almost first. Like, I'm actually slightly concerned. I wonder if he's okay.
It's crazy that you said no. He's just at home. That you didn't just message me and say, "Hey, we're both here." How long were you guys waiting for me?
I'm unclear.
It's never gonna happen again. I'm gonna make you guys tell me exactly when you're getting here so I can game the system.
Well, thanks for being here, Joel.
I'm happy to be here. I'm really happy I made it.
Debut of the Williams hat looked good.
Williams hat looks good
on camera too.
Probably the only time that I'll wear it, unfortunately.
What? Why?
They just aren't doing good right now.
So?
They're you
didn't wear that stupid McLaren hat?
What did you just say? Wearing an Alpine hat, you say that to me?
Hey, this is fair. Crazy. This is fair. They finished P6 last race, but this is fair.
Nico's the goat right now.
Nico's the goat.
Okay, for one more week, Nico.
One more week.
After that,
roasting you. Back into the incinerator you go. Yeah.
And of course, thanks to Kev getting it all done, and he's going to get this thing out for you guys. With that, but don't have my thing up. But don't forget to like, comment, subscribe wherever you listen to the banner, whether that's YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio.
Nice.
And we will indeed see you here next week for another rendition of Fast Laps. Bye.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.